Moving in the darkness of the cosmos is an evil and mysterious planet named Gordis. This is Starforce. Welcome to Nostalgia, a chronological exploration of every NES game released in North America. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Joe.
And today we are talking about Star Force, not to be confused with the fictional supervillain team that fight the Avengers. Do you guys know about Star Force?
I don't.
No.
They show up before this game. If you Google search, a lot of things do, including the Mega Man Star Force series.
It's a pretty generic name.
Wait, this isn't the like most popular thing called Star Force?
This is there's certain points where if you just type in Star Force, you're more likely to get Star Wars like Force Awakens.
Oh,
you
know, like that's Dark Forces, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
a video
yeah.
game.
That's just how. Wait, is that really
Dark Forces?
Oh,
right?
Yeah, Star Wars Dark Forces.
Yeah, that's yeah, isn't
that's
that
true.
The first?
That's one of them.
Like.
It's up there.
Jedi Knight
yeah.
game, right?
Oh, okay. Very cool. Well, you know, Star Wars games are good again now.
Yeah.
Big again, rather. Not good again.
Yeah.
No,
don't get ahead
again.
Of ourselves.
Yeah. But, you know, what's that? Fallen Order?
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be
game.
A game. The
Probably
movies
is.
Have shit the bed, but we always have the games.
So right. they're okay.
We always have the old movies, too. That's the thing, is like, right. people, you always got 1977.
Yeah, you can make whatever, anything you want now.
And we're in 87, and we're talking about Star Force. Yeah, we'll definitely get into that right away, but I just want to talk real fast, if you don't mind, about development for the game. This game was made by Tecmo. At the time, they were called Tecon, but it says Tecmo on their thing, too, so I don't know why. Maybe they were going through the transition point. Anyway... We know Tecmo today for Dead or Alive, Ninja Gaiden, Deception. That's on this list.
Yeah,
of,
we
like,
know them for that.
Titles you would know them for, but I certainly don't know them. And then Rygar is the one that we know them for right now. And Rygar was a solid game, right?
I like Rygar. I voted Essential.
But nice.
I like
okay.
Rygar a lot.
Yeah. I still
yeah.
like Rygar. Fatal Frame. That's
oh.
another game that Tecmo does. And obviously Tecmo Bowl. Which we will get to.
That's right.
So these are all games that Tecmo's known for, but they started, just to get a little bit into the deep lore of Tecmo, Tecmo started as the Imperial Trustee Corporation, a company that specialized in the management of building maintenance, including the supplying of cleaning equipment.
When
so
what?
Clearly they're bound to make video games at some point or another, right? As they are the corporation responsible
they
for
also,
building maintenance.
They also like used to trade tea in the like South Indies or
right.
something.
So I mean, like, look, Nintendo started as a card company, but that's closer.
That's
than
a
this.
Game
you
thing.
Know? Yeah, that's a game thing. They do eventually. The game connection does happen though, because in July of 1969, the company started to sell entertainment amusement equipment. So like. Things that you would
still
see at an amusement park.
Still a far cry from cleaning equipment.
But they're getting there, you know? And I just think it's really interesting that, like, they go from, like, this very far away thing to, like, oh, we make amusement park equipment to let's just start making video games. People like that.
That's so weird.
So they go from the Imperial Trustee Corporation to Tecon to Tecmo, and now they're Koei Tecmo.
Oh.
There was a point where Square was going to buy them, actually, but that fell through, and instead Koei got them.
Well, I mean, I think that Square kind of is fine without them, so it's not a big divergence
yes,
point.
Yes. And Hudson Soft maybe developed the NES port. It's listed with them in there, but Tecmo definitely published both the NES and Japanese version. But Tecmo definitely also made the arcade version. However, despite the US arcade version being titled Mega Force, Tecmo decided to release the NES version under the original name Star Force. Do we have a preference? Would you have preferred Mega Force?
I think that Star Force is fine.
I think Star
yeah.
Force is better.
I think Star Force is a hair better than Mega Force.
I didn't even think, because we were just talking about it, I have no idea how they could have thought of something even less like creative as Star Force.
Right,
right. And isn't it, as I say, like Star Force at least has like a modicum more of like telling you what it is. Mega Force are just two words that don't mean anything together.
And isn't it funny that there are three Mega Man Star Force games and like Mega and Star are both in the consideration for this title and then Mega Man just like completely eclipses them. So whether you search for Mega Force or Star Force, you're going to probably wind up with Mega Man Star Force 1, 2, or 3 on the Game Boy Advance, I think. Game Boy Advance. All right, so we can just move into first impressions. Sean?
So Star Force, it's a shmup, right?
Yeah, we should let people know.
It is a shmup. I thought that we would have maybe some brief respite. It's still going. So I like to think that, you know, shmups are made in a factory. And, you know, first you get like a, you get the template of a shmup, and they're just, you know, they're pressed in like into some kind of material, and then they go down this assembly line, this conveyor belt, and then they get their power-ups added and they get their levels added. And I think that in this analogy, Star Force fell off the assembly line right before it got any of that stuff, and it really is just the template of a shmup to me.
Okay, sounds good. Joe?
I was actually going to say exactly what Sean said. No, I had similar feelings. I don't know if I was maybe as angry with it because I say this every single time, which I just recently realized how often I say this whenever we play a shmup, but I already have this bias where I'm like, oh, another shmup. So when I got into playing it, I was like, yeah, this is what I expected. It didn't impress me much, but it was felt like just like the purest shmup.
I play a lot of video games, and I did not get to play a lot of shmups growing up, but they did intrigue me. So I'm not tired of shmups yet. However, this is crazy. Like, we thought 1942 was pretty bare bones, and I'm willing to say it's still pretty much close to the bottom. This game, though, it truly is, it's bizarre at this point, especially coming from the same people that brought us Rygar, which was so innovative and different and reaching for something. Now, I get like it's probably two different teams within or whatever, but this is just, it doesn't make any sense. You know, to Sean's point here, where is the rest of the shmup genre in this game? Basically, I've seen Game Maker, you know,
like exactly.
I've seen Game Maker games that could include more than what Star Force is giving us here.
Like, is this a port of something? Like, when did the arcade version come out? Was there an arcade version?
There was an arcade version, and to be honest, it doesn't look like anything is missing in the NES version in terms of gameplay things. Like, they're still losing the power-ups and stuff like that.
Yeah, but was it, like, a long time ago?
Let's see. Star Force came out in the arcade in 1984, so yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Why would they publish this game if so many leaps have gone by in this genre?
Money.
Yeah, maybe it had a name that, you know, people would be like, would buy because they remembered it.
Because of Star Wars, it's close.
Yeah. Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, remember, we talked about that with Star Voyager, too. Like, thinking of Star Wars and Star Trek Voyager. Right? Just mixing both of them and hoping somebody gets confused and buys it for their kid who likes Star Wars or Star Trek.
Right. Yeah. I will say that, you know, coming into this, I'm pretty negative on this game. But just hearing how negative you guys are, I do feel the need to say my positive thoughts. I feel like I have a few positive thoughts that you guys might not agree with. But I thought that it being, at least for like someone who's a fan of shmups, it being so bare bones, you might still just enjoy. I still think that it's like a clean gameplay experience. And yeah, there's not really any power-ups and not like anything else to do. But if you want to just have that like button mashing dodge, you know, just like the purest shmup experience, I can see people definitely enjoying this game. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely not for me, especially because it's a genre I don't care for with nothing extra about it. But I can see like someone who's just like, I just want to just try and shoot things without any like extra help or anything like that. And it is a pretty tough game too.
It's an important viewpoint to have. I don't know if I'd agree with tough game. Here's the thing. It's tough because they don't give you any of those power-ups that we're used to in shmups. But I would offer that this game is like a training for like getting better at shmups, because you have to just get better at anticipating your targets and knowing where they're going to be versus shooting where they are, because that's like the first lesson in shmups.
It feels like it's very much based on like your skill. Like nothing else. There's like one power up, but like nothing else is going to help you. You're just, you have to dodge those bullets.
And the one power up is a rapid fire, right?
Right.
Like
yeah.
Which a turbo button could have solved.
And right. That being said, though, I think we're alluding to an idea that this game, while it's bland and really doesn't offer anything new, is still like really competent. And yeah, it doesn't have any huge bugs, and it doesn't have huge slowdown, but there's a design decision with the use of color in this game, which makes it really hard for like significant portions where all of the projectiles that are coming for you are almost like just a shade off of the background, where they're shooting white projectiles at you on just off-white ground below them. And it's just really hard to keep track of everything, especially if you have like, if you're a little colorblind or something.
Right,
like,
and this is a problem uniform across all versions of the game. This thing did get ported around a lot, but even the original arcade version has that problem of just like not being even
clear.
Aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
You know, I think the tiles on what would you call them, like asteroids or whatever?
So.
Yeah, the tiles on asteroids look is just not a great look. And, you know, not to like knock on the enemies or anything like that, but they're determined in patterns and in waves, and so they don't offer any element of surprise, and they're very uninteresting.
Right. Yeah. There's like a very, you, I feel like I only played to like level 3 or 4 or something.
But yeah, this is
I
bad.
Feel like I already
you mean
was like,
gamma?
Yes, sorry. I'm forgetting to use the Greek alphabet.
Yeah, we can dive into that part later.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, granted, there could be more later on, but I feel like even on those 4 levels, there's like not much variety. I just kept seeing all the same enemies.
Yeah, and eventually, like the big idea, and I'm joking, but I'm saying like the only sense of variety is that in the later stages, some might come from behind you.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And right. Then you have to just dodge them because you can't shoot behind you. So it's like, thanks, but Section Z even figured out, like, oh, that should happen, like, right away, and you should be able to shoot behind you as well. Like, and that game came out into the arcades in, like, 85, 86, so there's really no excuse here. And I get the whole, like, you know, just a raw shmup. I just don't think that if you're going to do that, if you're going to just have it be, like, you know, you're a spaceship, and you have to go against, you know, an entire army with no power-ups or anything like that, you have to do something in terms of, like, maneuverability or enemy diversity, or, you know, exploration diversity, because even like being, if you could move from side to side in the screens, but you're just locked to the screen you're on, is so little going on that it's not a very pleasant experience to keep trucking through, even if you wanted to. There's not enough happening here to stimulate the mind.
You right? actually it, don't even get to go all around the screen that you're on.
Yeah, there's like a force field that stops you from going to where the enemies are, and I don't know if
that can be an issue too, though. If like, I mean, I don't know why you'd be up there to begin with unless you're trying to evade a lot of enemies. But if the only direction you can go is in that direction, then you're fucked.
Right. And it's true, because even a game like 1942 would let you go all the way to the top of the screen. It wasn't recommended because it's where enemies appear, but there was no invisible barrier.
It's very strange.
Yeah, I will say, like I said, I was not a fan of this game. I just wanted to put out the parts that I thought like why I could see some people liking it. You have to be a very specific type of person, I think. But yeah, I didn't think it was great. Although I think I would take this over 1942. I don't know if you guys feel the same.
Okay,
but.
No, I like 1942. I like that theme. At least it has.
Wait, what was the theme for 1942?
No, not the music. The music was terrible.
Oh, yeah, because the music was like.
No, World War II?
That's right. That's right.
No, I meant like, you know, World War II.
The theme of World War II.
Like, I prefer that over this. But if we want to get into that, this has a pretty cool story in the manual. It has, in the year 2010, just setting way into the future, of Dimension Almanac. It's like, is that the book Dimension Almanac, and then like it describes all the dimensions, or like, anyway, in the year 2010 of Dimension Almanac, there was a mysterious planet named Gordis, which was moving in the darkness of the cosmos for the purpose of mass murder and plunder.
The planet itself.
Yeah, it was gonna, I guess, like steal from the the planet, the other planets, the rich. Yeah, the people of the planets. Who knows? Everyone gave up fighting against Gordis because of its awesome power. I love when awesome is used to refer to things that are like big,
truly,
or like
awesome.
Yeah, like the actual, you know, like, original definition of awesome.
Yeah, like people might say like, oh, Thanos is awesome, right? But they're more talking about like the character. But to describe Thanos's power as awesome is like a different kind of awesome. Yeah.
It means
cool.
like awed, right?
Yeah, like in awe of how much power he holds. So like,
honestly, what a great paragraph this is.
Yeah, it keeps giving. So everyone gave up fighting against Gordis because of its awesome power. One day, a brave soldier riding a space patroller challenged Gordis to a fight. People called this space patroller Final Star.
Such a great name.
Wishing to be saved. You must bring an end to the murders which have been committed for the past 2,000 years.
This is just so strange, though. They keep... I'm just amazed. They keep using the word murder.
Yeah, murder is
very
strange.
That's the planet's goal. He just wants to murder.
I continue.
No, that's it. But also, like, I'm confused because does that mean since the year 10, there's just been murders from planet Gordis?
It was in the Bible.
Well, this is an alternate dimension.
It's in Dimension
Almanac. This is
Almanac
Dimension.
Yeah.
We're not there.
Oh, so 2010 is just somebody else's 2010.
Yeah, but they do have the Greek alphabet.
Right.
So that's Athens where we was got a thing, the Greek but alphabet. Not necessarily religion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Wait, maybe we are in, not Project Almanac.
Dimension Almanac.
This is Dimension Almanac, and, you know, Mega Man happens in Dimension
Dictionary.
Textbook. Yeah.
And so, as we're alluding to with the Greek alphabet thing, each stage in the game is named after a letter in the Greek alphabet. So you start with alpha and beta and
gamma,
delta. And you work your way through this until you get to omega. But at the end of each level, there's an end of level boss. Oh, wow. Finally, something different, right? No. They don't even fight back.
No, it's
the
just
bosses.
Like a thing you have to shoot. It's just there.
I can't believe they're even describing them as boss fights. Like, they're not boss fights. The bosses have no offensive abilities other than collision. Like, don't run into them, but shoot them for sure.
But they do at least have an original design for each level.
Yes. Well.
Yeah, they have the Greek letter on the front.
No, yeah. But
an original design.
Right,
yeah.
But I'm saying they each just have the same two cannons that fire a few shots at your ship.
Does that go through? Because I assumed, because I didn't get very far, I was like, oh, the later levels must have crazier.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
No, same two cannons.
Okay, yeah. Good.
They have a new letter.
Yes, a different letter each time.
That's what I'm in it for. What's going to be next?
Well, you know, too, because the stage tells you which stage you're on. But after Omega, after beating the same boss 25 times, now you're on stage 26, which is just the infinity sign.
Aw.
And you would think, like, wow, now I've really pushed the game to its limits. No, that just means you'll be playing this level on loop per infinity.
Just that level?
Just that level for infinite loops.
Wow, that's a
really,
nightmare.
That's actually pretty profound.
Right. It's almost like you think you've beaten... the Gordis, but really
you have to just keep it occupied for your eternity. It's like the end of Doctor Strange.
All you've done is Gordis has tricked you into thinking you've won, but you actually die, and now you just repeat the same level over and over again, infinity.
All right, I actually think that this is a brilliant game now.
It's actually the ending of Mass Effect 3.
Don't spoil it. I've heard how great it is.
Were you serious? I haven't played it?
I haven't played it. Okay.
He hasn't played any of them. I won't spoil it, but I think that, you know what? It's funnier thinking that as you get close to working your way through the trilogy, you're going to be like, oh, but I know how Star Force ends. And then
I'm like, oh shit, now I figured it out.
This is going to end just like Star Force. So that's an interesting twist. Like someone did that to me in the past where they set me up to believe that an ending to something that I didn't know yet was going to be like something, and it turned out to be nothing like that. And that was like a very nice thing they did, because it totally like shocked me when it didn't happen that way.
Wow.
Anyway.
Was it me?
It wasn't you.
Oh.
It will never be you. But it's also simultaneously always you in Gordis's Dimension Almanac. Do we have anything else we want to talk about when it comes to gameplay here?
What gameplay? Oh, no.
Trying to think. There's got to be something.
You shoot bullets, right? You shoot bullets and rapidly shoot bullets
at certain points.
Yeah. And, you know, it's weird to me that there even is that power-up for the rapidly shoot bullets because there are no other power-ups.
You could also just tap the button. It'll do the same thing.
I couldn't do it as quickly as the
Well, I said you could also just have a rapid button on, you know, if you had like a turbo controller or something. Yeah. I'll mention two things. There is a tips and tricks section in the manual.
Ooh.
And this is not one of those tips and tricks, but I think it's worth mentioning. This game is so formulaic to the point where you can determine which direction the end level boss will move before it even appears by just looking at your score. If the 100 digits is an odd number, the boss will move to the left. And if it's an even number, it'll move to the right.
Wow, that's cheating. I don't think that's fair.
That's cheap.
Yeah, I honestly can't believe you would do that.
Yeah, we were talking about Kid Nicky last week, and how we were cheesing that game for just a section of it. Nobody bats an eye. Yeah,
this is just for a game this polished.
Well, you know what's funny is in this game too, like. Points, I guess, matter, right? If it's a raw shmup and it's an arcade style thing, a score might matter to someone.
Not if you just have to play the game forever,
right? And most things are worth like 1,000 points or you know a few hundred points. There is a way to get 1,000,000 points by just one particular object that's only available at one point. When you get to the Violet Continent. And you see...
back up here.
I don't know what stage it's on, but it's a violet color.
I thought it was like, this is what it's called, and you were expecting us to like know the violet continent.
No, like the asteroid, the violet asteroid. You see this fossil on the left side. If you go to the right of the fossil and shoot at it, Cleopatra will appear. Like just the face of Cleopatra will appear. Shoot her... Oh. And you'll get 1,000,000 point bonus.
So these game designers were staunch anti-Cleopatra.
Yeah. And she also exists in their dimension, which also, what's confusing is...
That's why I was thinking it's the same dimension.
But we're following the Greek alphabet, but now we're using Egyptian characters.
Well, Greece and Egypt actually shared a lot of culture and trade.
That explains why Assassin's Creed Origins then went to Odyssey.
Yes.
Yes.
Go Bills.
Great. That's the only things I have from the tips and tricks section. And that one actually is called out in the manual. That, like, shoot Cleopatra for 1,000,000 points.
It's not even, like, some crazy, like, secret thing. No, it's just, like, in the manual.
It's referred to as, like, the 7 mysteries of Star Force. And that's number 7 is, like, can you find the coveted 1,000,000 point bonus Cleopatra? Well, if you can, shoot her in the face. I think we have to move right into sequels and spinoffs.
There were.
Let's do it.
Great. There were. Yes. Yeah. And then there were two.
Wow.
Yeah. Both Japanese only, I'm pretty sure. The first one, Super Star Force, which is released in 1986 for the Famicom, so it came out before even this one comes out in North America.
Do they keep their austere, like, no-nothing design?
You know, I looked at it, and I want to say yes. You know, wow. Like, I'm sure it includes... something extra, but let's see. What is it? What do we got? What do we got here? Star Force, unlike most shoot 'em ups released during its time, Super Star Force is a combination of a shoot 'em up and an adventure game. Players must go back in time in order to defeat Gordis.
Again?
However, 7 time stones must be collected from each level's hidden dungeon.
You're making an Avengers joke.
No, this is legit. Taking advantage of the time travel opportunities during the game can help to unravel the mysteries of time and space. Players have to simply repeat the actions of the distant past in order to progress.
All right, so it's it's got something.
Yeah, that's something different. I'm actually now very curious.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
You go through different time periods. You start in 00001, three zeros and then a one. That's called the ending of the fetal movement, and this is the legendary underground slave-owning empire of Erugeniba exists near a vast number of distinctive volcanoes.
What
this
is
an NES game. This is an NES game. Then you go to 316 Genesis. This era is characterized by rugged mountains and huge pieces of inorganic ground materials. 820, the dawn. Filled with numerous monuments to the past. This level is the most important in the game. The entrance to the Eridurera forest demon ruins have been closed. The key to opening it is the statue of Dorera.
Mike, are you reading copy or are you reading like what somebody like described? Is it somebody describing the game on a forum right now?
No, this is on Wikipedia. So I have to play this game, if we're being
this
honest.
This is an NES game?
This is an NES game.
I wish it wasn't a shmup.
Right, with time travel.
It's actually an RPG now.
Yeah. It's time travel, and it's also a shmup, and it's also an action game. I'm in.
So we will play this game.
No, it's
no,
Famicom.
It only ever comes to Japan, but yeah. I have to go home and play this game like tonight. I have to order it or something. And what's funny is this was supposed to be the bigger thing, but now it seems like the time travel thing is just awesome. If you go to the manual for Star Force, you will see that they say that Super Star Force is coming soon.
I did notice that.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
They are so cocky about how this game is going to perform that they're already teasing Super Star Force because it's already out in Japan, 1986. So, like, yeah, look out for Super Star Force, the game that never comes. And I think that's funny to, like, tease that in a manual and then just be like, yeah. Nah, we don't have the funds
to release this. The first vaporware, huh?
Yep. And then in 1992, just for the arcades, we get Final Star Force. Still Gordis is...
His name is Still Gordis.
Gordis, this is a millennia ago, a mysterious force known as Gordis perished in a long battle. So now it's 1,000 years after 2010.
We are the history now.
Yes. However, Gordis has been brought back to life by a race of aliens known as the Borrigan.
Are they talking about a planet still? Or are they
the planet? Yeah, the planet Gordis.
It's been brought back to life.
It's brought back to life, the planet. And it's now in the process of ravaging the Earth. An entire planet is now ravaging another planet. Two spaceships, the Blue Nova and the Red Nova, are sent to fight the Borrigan forces and destroy Gordis. So the gameplay of the Final Star Force goes back to the formula of the original Star Force, but with updated graphics and finally some extra power-ups.
And PvP.
Yeah, so that's good. Other things that have been changed from the original are the style of the title screen's logo.
We've all been asking for that.
Yeah, Wikipedia can be so specific at times, but nobody asks for it either. Anyway, it's clear Star Force is not a franchise that people are demanding, and 1992 marks the end of Star Force. So we might as well just mark this the end of us talking about this and move right into the Essential Games List. Well, if it didn't give it away that we've been talking more about the sequels and spinoffs than the gameplay of the original game, Sean, please tell me your vote for the Essential Games List when it comes to Star Force.
My vote is no, it is inessential. This is the template for a denial of entry into the Essential Games List.
Nice. Joe?
Yeah, I'm also going to go with a no on this one. I still do think that there are people out there that will enjoy this. But I think you
are going to say that about every game at this point.
Well, the thing is that, like, they're listening, and they're like, why do you keep talking about us like we're lepers?
Yeah, there are freaks out there. No, I just mean that, like, I still think, I think, to me, saying it's worse than 1942, I thought 1942 is still, the lowest of the shmups that we've played. But I think just because it's, like, it's just... it's just about your skill with it. Like, I think if you are really into shmups, you might have a mediocre time with this. Let me clarify with that. But I don't think it's necessarily going to be horrible. I didn't like it at all. And if you're not a huge fan of shmups, I definitely don't think you're going to like it.
You may dislike it less than us.
One thing I forgot to mention, just about the way I played this, maybe it'll give you a better idea of the kind of gameplay it is you know, in a movie when they're showing a video game, but you understand that like the whoever made this movie doesn't know how it looks to play a video game. That's how I look when I'm playing this video game. It's like so button mashy to me. So I'm not very good at this game. Maybe that has to do with why I didn't like it very much.
No. Didn't.
Okay. And also, yes, it's not a great game, but it's still okay to some people who might like shmups. Stand by it.
Star Force is like if in Super Mario Brothers, all you could do is jump. There was nothing. Like, there was no fire flower or anything. Land, like, yeah, there was flat land. There was no platforming. It's like in a JRPG where you never upgrade your combat gear and you can't change your classes.
There's no magic system.
Right. The character you are at the beginning is the character you are at the end of the game. You didn't grow up at all or anything.
It's just a random battle generator.
This really is just a story about, you know, a guy who challenged a planet and single-handedly not only won, but knew he was going to win from the beginning. He didn't upgrade himself. He didn't win. He didn't work. Well, oh, yeah, that's right. He just goes into the Infinity Zone. Oh, my gosh. The Infinity Zone, Infinity Stones. This whole episode's been nothing but Avengers. There's a team called Star Force that fights the Avengers. Wow, this is getting crazy. Anyway, the vote is obviously no. I'm still waiting to play Star Force. I don't know what I experienced, but it's the equivalent of, you know, when you watch, like when you stay on the title screen too long and then the game just starts playing itself. That's what I essentially did during my time playing Star Force, is I felt like I was watching the game play itself, but it was really just me playing it doing nothing.
You had dissociative episode while playing this game.
Right. And I think that Super Star Force sounds awesome, and I know it can't possibly deliver on what it's offering, but it sounds like Star Force meets Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Exactly. That's what I was thinking the whole time.
Which is just impossible. So my vote is no, but I'm definitely going to check out Super Star Force. That is all the time we have for this episode of Nestalgia. Join us next time where we do another great NES game in chronological order. And if you're wondering what that game is, I'm stalling to find out as well. But while we're stalling, why don't you check out www.nostalgiacast.com. Sean, what can they find there?
They can find every episode that we have ever recorded. And we can also, you can also read the manuals. No, not the manuals. We have articles about things.
Yeah, we have articles.
We have a few.
And also from the website, you can search in the search bar at the top at the URL for the manuals and read the manuals that way.
You could do that. That's just your browser. But yeah. Yeah,
we have show notes. Things are show notes.
We have links to cool things.
Great.
We have a contact form,
which you can use to get in touch with us.
Yeah. Please do.
The also, what was I going to say? Was not important.
No, that you were going to say what the next game was.
Super Pitfall is our next game. So you guys all remember Pitfall, big game on the Atari 2600. Some say it invented a genre. It didn't, but sure, Pitfall, whatever. That's how indifferent I am, but Super Pitfall sounds like it's going to be a blast. It's like Pac-Man, but then you hear you got Super Pac-Man, and you're like, oh, what needed?
Must be superior.
Right. So we'll play that for sure, and you'll join us next Friday. I'm Michael Esposito. You can find me on @EspositoFilm on Twitter, and I hope you're having a great time. Now it's time for the post show about Kid Nicky. Guys, we haven't talked about Kid Nicky for a week.
Okay.
What's going on?
You know what? I got a t-shirt that somebody made It may have been my roommate that made the t-shirt, but it's a Kid Nicky t-shirt.
Going forward, I'd like to have a 15-minute meeting every morning just on our Outlook calendars that just says Kid Nicky. Yeah. We don't have to meet.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about it or anything. I just want that 15-minute meeting that shows up in your laptop just to remind you of Kid Nicky is a game that exists and I should be thinking about it.
Yeah, that's why I got the shirt.
Very similar to how I'll call Joe every now and again and just be like, don't forget that Kingdom Hearts 3 came out.
No,
yeah, and we can't wait for it anymore.
You guys aren't going far enough. I'm getting a tattoo on my palm that says Kid Nicky.
Oh, just so that says it?
Yeah. It's like a memento.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It'll say Kid Nicky and the date that the episode came out, right?
Well, yes.
That's funny.
So funny.
This way you remember all the good times we had recording the episode.
And just to remind myself that it exists.
Yep. Yeah. You're punishing yourself for just being a part of the universe where it exists.
Yeah.
By constantly reminding yourself about it.
You're doing a great job of it right now.
Right. I'm helping.
Every Sunday, instead of meditating now, I actually just go on top of a rock, squat there for a unlimited amount of time, hoping that, there's, enlightenment with the Buddha?
Yeah.
I'm hoping that, by squatting on that rock for a certain time, eventually I'll just be teleported to a secret area.
Right. Well, and don't forget your secret stabbing technique, which is if you drop something, you can pick it up.
That's a good way to end this. Thank you for humoring us. We are so sorry that we did this to whoever listens. Good night or morning,
but not afternoon.
But not day. Afternoon. Yeah. Please
if you're
do not
listening
be listening
to this in the afternoon. Yeah. We're very disappointed.
You know what? The favorite time for me to play Kid Nicky is right in the afternoon.
The best time to play Kid
That's
Nicky.
That's why you shouldn't be listening to this right now. If it's the afternoon, you should be playing Kid Nicky.
The best time to play Kid Nicky is all the time. Right back at you.